Blog Talk Radio.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Belt a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent and the Pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the Pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the Pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and sagging. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.
All right, guys, that's how we kick it off. It is April 30th, 4 months down into 2013. It's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and it is Whiskey Bent in the Pit Barbecue Radio Show. We've got a heck of a lineup tonight. I want to welcome you guys. I know we had a two-week hiatus, but that's just what happens with the real job. But we look good. We're obviously here this week. I believe we'll be here next Tuesday night. And I don't think I really see any roadblocks for maybe the rest of the month. So hopefully a full month of May on Tuesday nights, Whiskey Bent in the Pit. So once again, thanks for you guys hanging around, joining us tonight. I think we've got a great show lined up with some really good guests. I think you guys will enjoy. A couple of newbies to the show, a couple of folks that have been on before. First, we're going to kick it off with Tom Glenn, Paul Drews, IAB 30. Guys are cooking machines. They travel all over the country. One of the first 10 teams that's already qualified for Sam's Club Nationals out in Bentonville. They did that through way of Las Vegas 2 weekends ago. Also, they just got done cooking the Stagecoach Festival out in California. We're going to have two guests talk about that tonight. IAB 30 is going to come on. They took a grand the first day at the IBCA contest. And then I believe a reserve grand the following day at the KCBS contest. So good to talk to those guys, catch up with them. They've always got some interesting stuff going on. We're also going to do a little public service announcement. Those boys are looking for a jambo for Plant City. So if anybody knows of anybody here in the Central Florida area that has one of those, I can't remember the name of it. Maybe you guys in chat can. I know there's a guy out of Orlando, I believe. He cooked Sam's Club Tampa. I want to say he cooked a couple of contests this year. Real nice fella. He's got the real pretty jambo that he always brings with his RV. Smoke Blue, or it's something like that. If you guys can tell me who it is, let me know, and we'll try to pass that information on to Paul and Tom tonight. Second guest coming in is going to be a first-timer and a new sponsor of the show and the team, and that's Grizzly Coolers, Brian over there at Grizzly. Looking forward to it. You know, I've seen Three Eyes Coolers. I've seen Rubs Coolers. Was fortunate enough, once again, thanks to Mitch Bedwell for making the introduction there between Brian and myself. Real excited to be part of the kind of Grizzly Coolers barbecue team, the teams that they're sponsoring. We're real happy about that. And I'm just going to have Brian come on and talk about how the brand got started, talk about some of the selling features of the Grizzly Cooler. If you guys haven't checked it out, you got to go check out their website, grizzlycoolers.com. It's absolutely awesome if you look at some of the testimonials and just some of the tests that they put the product through. It's pretty amazing. So we're going to have Brian on. We're going to chit-chat about that. Third guest, kind of in but kind of tentative, Bubba Latimer from Bubba Q. He said he's feeding around 4,300 people on Wednesday and Thursday, but said he would try to carve out a little bit of time around 8:10 for us. I want to talk to him about the Calhoun, Georgia contest, KCBS, that he won this past weekend with a little bit over 700 score. Plus, Bubba's just always fun to have on the show. Guy that always, if it's on his mind, he speaks it. Just all around damn good guy. So Bubba Latimer's going to help get us into the second hour. Then we're going to come and we're going to talk to a good friend, Jim Elser and his son, Garrett. Congratulations to Jim and them. First show that we've had since he finally took down his first grand championship. Been beating down the door, got a couple reserve trophies, this and that. and right there at Venice. It was cool to be there at the contest and be part of it and just see the excitement. And these guys were vending too. So we're going to talk to Jim and Garrett about that big victory. Then we're going to round out the show with Andy Allen from Rooftop Barbecue. We're going to talk about his experience at Stagecoach. I think they've vended and competed. Something like 50,000 folks went through there on the weekend. So I just want to talk to Andy about what it's like preparing for a big contest like that. And they did well. I want to say they took a reserve grand champion behind IEB 30 on the Saturday contest, IBCA. So that's what we've got tonight. Real quick, we just hit on the Venice contest. We cooked that contest. We always enjoy it. Don and the folks down there at Venice always do a great job with the Suncoast Barbecue Bash. And it's one of those guys, if you're down here in Florida, even I would tell some of our Georgia and Alabama friends, you need to hold that weekend open in April. We had the new power this year, the new underground utilities as far as power and water. A couple little things, but nothing huge. They were always right on top of it. They had electricians on site all day Friday, all day Saturday, and everything went really, really smooth. Those guys are just continuing to invest in the contest, and I think we just need to give back as teams and make sure and get there. We had over 50 teams, and I think if we keep getting the good word out and preaching it up, I think we could have that up to 70, 75 teams next year. And I'll tell you, it's only a matter of time before that becomes that gets one of the years of being the FBA Florida State Championship contest, because it's just that good. Great folks. I can't say any more about them. I've got a lot of respect for Don and the whole Sertoma team, and I always enjoy that contest. Looks like our next contest, a little update on us, looks like May 17th. Be making the trip back to Ohio, Westchester, Ohio. I believe it's a first or second year contest. Got about 40 teams. Going to be teaming up with my good buddy and distant team member, Matt Van. He will be cooking that. And I believe Matt is going to be on vacation down here and potentially will be cooking the following weekend with Jared and I over in Oviedo for an FBA contest. So any of you guys in the Ohio area that are listening, I'm going to go out on the brethren and put a post, but we're definitely looking for any kind of cooker besides pellet. We got a pellet covered, but I don't care if it's a backwoods, a stumps, whatever the case. I don't care if it's a Lang or a stick burner. I just want something that's going to be able to get some smoke on the product. So if you know of anybody that's going to Westchester and may have a spare cooker, if you're not going to Westchester for whatever reason, you want to come hang out with us, we'd be grateful. We just ask if we could borrow your cooker. So anybody in that South Ohio area in Westchester that could help, or around Westchester, or anybody be willing to travel to Westchester, we'd love the assistance. So if you know anybody, ask them if they could help us out. You know how to get a hold of us. WhiskeyBentBBQ at Gmail, WhiskeyBentBBQ on Twitter, WhiskeyBentBBQ on Facebook, WhiskeyBent on Facebook. You can't find us any of those ways, and you're not looking hard enough. One more thing I want to talk briefly about, and then we're going to get over to the boys from Arizona, IEB 30. And that's an opportunity coming up. I want you guys to take a look at if it makes sense for you to hold the calendar. The date on your calendar is we went down on Friday and had a discussion with the Hyatt Resort down Hyatt Resort Coconut Point down in Bonita Springs, right outside of Naples. And it looks like we're going to be doing a Father's Day weekend barbecue and grilling class. So think of it starting on like a Saturday afternoon. We're going to do brisket and pork as far as, meat selection, preparation, all that type of stuff. We're going to throw it on the cookers. Everybody go wash up and kind of do a fireside chat from about 8 to 10, just have a couple of drinks, catch up a little bit. Then we'll get up Sunday morning, and we'll obviously pull the meat off the cookers, taste everything, talk through presentation, all those type of things, and then we'll wrap up. And immediately after that, we're going to go into actually doing some grilling. So I'll have the Rancher Kettle and a couple other different representative grills for the home cook, and we're going to do skirt steaks, thick-cut pork chops, and chicken breast. And then we're going to cap all that off with a Father's Day brunch that Sunday. that'll be the meats that I've cooked along with all the other brunch items done by the highly trained culinary staff at the Hyatt Resort there. So one of those things, as soon as we get the details, I'll put them up on Facebook and Twitter to where you can get to it. But I think it's going to be a really fun weekend. Absolutely beautiful resort. Three pools, just beautiful grounds, and a great, great staff. And they're really looking forward to it. And we're hoping that we have a lot of success this year and then roll that into actually being an annual event. So keep that Father's Day weekend. I believe it's the 12th, 13th, Saturday, Sunday. Like I said, more details to come. But if you're if you want to start buttering the wife up now, that'd be a good Father's Day present for all you guys out there listening. And like I said, we'll get the details to you as they all get finalized and time gets closer. Real quick, want to thank want to talk real quick about Southern Bread Smokers. We've had the website up now for a couple of weeks and we're seeing a lot of traffic. Southernbreadsmokers.com. We've got the three sizes of cookers you all know about, the Back Porch, the Grand Champion, and the Grand Daddy, all already with built-in digital controllers, charcoal chute, gravity-fed. I can't say enough about them. We've been cooking on a Back Porch to close out 2012 as we were working with Adam on the design of the Grand Champion. The Grand Champion we've been cooking on since the beginning of the year. Couldn't ask for anything more. We've seen our scores go up. We've seen our quality of product go up. And there's nothing else I'd rather cook on. So SouthernBreadSmokers.com. Go check it out. If you're a dealer and you're interested, you can reach out to Adam over at Adam@SouthernBreadSmokers.com. You can also reach out to me, and we'll see what we can do about getting you set up. And I'll tell you, the dealers that we are getting set up are moving units. So pretty happy to see how far we're going. We'll soon have the e-commerce portion of the website up, which will have some 90-day free financing options and some different things like that. So go over, take a look-see. You won't be disappointed. SouthernBreadSmokers.com. With that being said, I'm going to go pull up Tom and Drew. 1 second. How's it going, guys?
Good evening.
How are you?
Hey, Chad. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. Is everybody rested up, man? That's a long weekend.
Yeah, I think I'm recovered.
Yeah, I'm recovered too. A little warm out there. I think we were in the low 100s out there for the weekend, Chad.
Holy smokes! Really, already this early in the year?
Yeah, it was pretty hot.
That is crazy. How long a haul was that for you guys?
That was only about four or five hours. Let me tell you, it was hot enough that I couldn't even get the 30-amp connection apart. They melted together.
I had to take
the whole connection. I got back home, got a screwdriver, and pried the connections apart, and we ended up melting our adapter. So apparently we were drawing about 29 9/10 amps.
Out of our 30.
Out of our 30.
I'm sure the electrical guys are looking for their part of the electrical cord, which we soldered directly to our RV when Paul had to take on Monday morning.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
That is too funny,
so
man.
If Tom Emery's listening in, we owe him an adapter.
Excellent. We'll let him know if he is listening. That just keep an eye on the mail for that. So, but besides that, man, you guys had a heck of a weekend. Let's talk a little bit about, have you cooked Stagecoach before?
Yeah, this was our third year at Stagecoach, and it's a great event Tom puts on out there. You know, it's normally been a 2-day concert out there. This year they expanded it to 3, and I think they had over the course of the weekend a couple hundred thousand people that came out there, and there was 40 plus musical acts over the course of the weekend. So it's a great event. It's a little warm out there every year, but Tom always draws in 30 plus good teams to show up.
And we're talking about, I mean, some pretty national acts, right? I mean, this isn't, this isn't some, California indie rock type concert. I mean, he pulls some pretty big names, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there was, Toby Keith and Lady Antebellum. I mean, they were the biggest names and headliners are out there at the Polo Field. It's the same location that 2 weeks prior they do that Coachella Music Fest.
Okay.
So it runs 2 weeks apart I guess, every year. And this was so it was our third year, but it was the first year we decided, because you can go out and you can vend, you can compete, you can do samples, or, you know, all of the above. This is the first year Tom and I decided, you know what, let's just go out and compete and and enjoy the event, and because there's just a whole lot going on there. So I think it was nice for us not to, for the first time, you know, do any of the vending or sampling, actually.
Man, I'll tell you, we have became pretty much a relatively vend-free team now, too, and,
yeah.
Man, that is nice, isn't it? I mean, it's just...
It's tough. You know, it's too much of a distraction.
You know, even when you have kind of a separate vending crew, you know, that always works out great in theory, and then... It just, you know, when you get in the weeds, all that just goes to hell in a handbasket. You know, so yeah, I think that was, you know, definitely somewhere like that too, where it seems like, you know, there's just such a mass of people, you know you're going to be, you know it's going to be kind of crazy. So, one thing about that, speaking of kind of the whole event, and I'll weigh in kind of with my opinion first, or as a team, our opinion is, you know, we really enjoy contests like that have some other thing around them. How about you guys? You kind of feel the same way? I mean, to me, it's a better environment. There's more foot traffic and people that maybe have never heard of competition barbecue. You know, to me, it's just kind of a friendlier environment. It's a lot more fun than Sam's Club parking lot or, you know, something where it's just a barbecue contest out in the field. I kind of like that overall event ambiance. How about Tom? We'll start with you. What thoughts on it?
No, I totally agree, Chad. I mean, part of what we like is, you know, obviously to go out there and, you know, to hang out with the other teams and to put some good food out. But we like interacting with the public. I mean, people are always coming around. They're asking questions. They want to, you know, take a look at the pit. So our interactions with the public are important. And, you know, you're restricted and limited with some of what you can do in the Sam's Club and some of the other events. But, you know, out there we were able to, you know, feed some of the security and, you know, some of the executives that were there with Golden Voice. So we really enjoyed our interactions and have a great time. And, you know, we don't look at it as a negative when people come around to talk to us. We enjoy talking barbecue whenever we can.
They're absolutely the same way. Paul, you same regards?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I think our favorite events are Havasu, Plant City, Stagecoach, and all three of those are similar in nature in the sense that they draw huge crowds. There are other things going on around it, and we absolutely enjoy, you know, we take a lot of pride in what we do, and, you know, we like talking about it. And, you know, especially even more so now with the Jambo, you know, it is just a magnet for people. They, you know, Tom always gives me crap, but I get out there every morning and I polish it up and wipe it down and make it look pretty because I figure if we spent that much money on the damn thing, I better make it look nice. So, and, you know, it just draws people over and they ask questions and, you know, it's we enjoy that very much so.
Absolutely. That's actually kind of part of the experience. I mean, I really think, and it's kind of the only way, you know, we kind of continue to see this thing grow is, you know, by those type of interactions. And, you know, even that 5-minute conversation, you know, somebody may go home and get on the computer and, you know, start looking, you know, where's another contest that's near. And, you know, they go out and they watch a couple. And next thing you know, they've got a, you know, group of friends together and they're going out catching the bug. So I think it's just kind of the right thing, you know.
And it's not even, you know, it's not even just the big ones. Like, you know, I mentioned some large ones, but we had just as much fun in, you know, Montague, which is, you know, I can never remember, Eureka, Wyreka, the northernmost part of California. And there were, I don't know, there's probably 500 people that live in the town. It's a dusty little town. But, you know, the mayor's coming by, all the townsfolk from three different, you know, towns in the area come out. And it's the biggest thing that ever come to town. And there isn't a group of folks more gracious and more welcoming and more excited to see, you know, barbecue guys willing to travel and come to their little spot of the world and, you know, more appreciative of sampling your food. I just love that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, especially when it's kind of a little town like that. And that's the thing, not just that weekend, but maybe that month or that quarter. Hell, maybe even the year. You know, it's pretty cool to see that a barbecue contest can have that kind of impact. So I completely agree with you. As far as the past weekend, talk to me a little bit about the IBCA sanctioned contest on Saturday and the KCBS on Sunday. Has Stagecoach always been that way? Is that something new? And for the listeners at home that may not know the difference, can you just, Tom, I'll let you take this. If you can just briefly talk about the difference as far as cuts of meat, what meat you turn in boxes, that kind of stuff.
Okay. So I think that in the past, Tom Emery's actually run KCBS and IBCA over the same weekend in the past. The last 2 years, it's just been a KCBS contest. So this year they kind of went back to the old format, which IBCA on Saturday, KCBS on Sunday. The real difference is there's a couple. IBCA, we only turn in three meats. It's a half chicken. It's ribs and brisket. One piece of foil in the bottom of the box, no garnish at all, no burn-ins, no pooling of sauce on the foil, and one-hour turn-ins. So, 12, 1, and 2 o'clock are your turn-ins for IBCA. And then I think KCBS, everybody's pretty familiar with the four cuts of meat that we do for KCBS.
Excellent. So do you find yourself, I mean, did you guys obviously, have you cooked IBCA before?
We had, but it had been 3 years. Our first year we had a couple of IBCA events here in Arizona. And the way that the way that they're scored, and you kind of go through a preliminary table and then they go to a final table, if you really don't make that final table, the final 10 that are judged there, it's somewhat hard to get feedback on your results. So as a new team our first year, we were really looking towards feedback from the judges and, you know, what they liked and didn't like about our food. So after those first few contests of IBCA, we kind of moved over to KCBS, so we would get that instant feedback, you know, as soon as the contest was over.
Sure.
I mean, we really enjoyed it. Obviously the other big difference with IBCA is they eat with a fork and knife. They don't pick the food up. So, you have a tendency to potentially overcook the ribs and the brisket a little bit more.
Yep.
Since they're going to be cutting it with a knife and it comes off the bone easier. But and then the half chicken. Everybody shares the box as it's passed around the table. So those are the main differences. And, you know, we cook the ribs and the brisket pretty similar to how we do for KCBS, maybe a little bit more overdone than normal. But, the half chicken, we still had our process that we used to cook in the backwoods, and it transferred over pretty well to the Jambo for the weekend.
Excellent. On the chicken, are you obviously, you know, so you're turning in one half of chicken, so how many are you cooking? Are you cooking, you know, four halves, six halves? You know, what do you usually do for that?
We cook one chicken. That was it.
Really?
We had two
and a half.
And the thing is, you can't, it's not like with you know, you can't try it because
no.
You got to turn it in.
Yeah.
So, you know what? You're going to cook two and temp them from underneath and pray for the best. You can't sample it before you turn it in. It's a bit of a crapshoot.
Yeah, I mean,
that's kind of funny. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not like you can cherry pick a little piece off of there and see what she's like. So,
we followed pretty much the same process. I mean, we went through the Oak Ridge Game Changer brine and then the Secret Weapon rub, and you know, we followed the same process we do with the thigh. It just cooked a little bit longer, and it worked out for us. It was that was our highest call that we had for the day, but still, it was a call.
Absolutely. So let's walk through that contest. Let's walk through the categories and then how you guys finished out overall.
We had a 10th place in chicken. We had a second place in ribs and a third place in brisket. And we actually tied for grand champion with Basement Barbecue. That's half of the rooftop team, and Andy will be on a little bit later.
Yeah.
And we went to the tiebreaker, which was the brisket score, and we actually we won the tiebreaker for that.
Wow. Wow, you talk about close, huh?
Very yeah. Close. Those guys had, they've really been cooking great all year, and, they split the team up into two for this one. They have the basement team, and then they have the rooftop team, and they put out some great barbecue, and, they had a very good weekend in both contests, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to have Andy on at the end, and I'm happy as can be for those guys. I remember, meeting Andy right when he was kind of getting started into competition barbecue, and they've came a long way, and you can't find a much nicer guy, not only him, but his teammates, too. They're just a good group of fellas.
It was, I'll tell you, one of the things, and I had forgotten about this, and Tom, we haven't even had a chance to chat about this, but I don't remember this from before, but they, all the boxes, the kind of unique thing about IBCA, well, one is, you know, they have this kind of raffle ticket, so it's truly blind. You're basically getting a raffle ticket with a number on it. The other half is on the box. So when it's award time, they're not calling out team names. They're calling out numbers. The other interesting piece to it, though, is all the boxes that made it to the final table and that scored are sitting up at a table. And you can go up afterwards, and they write on it, first place, you know, Ritz, first, second, third, and fourth. You can go up, open the box, look at the food, look at, you know, what's left over of how it was presented, take bites, try it out. Anybody can go up and do that, which is, you know, fairly interesting and unique to you know, a process, and I found that was actually kind of cool.
No, that's very unique. To me, that's really kind of an advantage where you may not get the feedback. You know, like Tom was talking about, you may not get the feedback on a score sheet, but you're able to do that. You're able to do that from a visual point of view. That's kind of cool. You know, to see what's out there.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's like Tom said. It'd been 3 years since we'd done an IBCA event, and that was really kind of within our first year that we did it. So I really didn't remember it too much. And you know, there are things about it that I really liked. You know, it's you know, there's some real unique things to KCBS. Real unique things to IBCA, and I'm thrilled that we had an opportunity to kind of cook one again, and you know, we may take a look at that and put a couple more on our radar screen in the future. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Excellent, man. So obviously you can't celebrate too hard or long because you got to turn around and do it the next day or that same day for the KCBS contest.
Well, I tell you, I almost didn't get to celebrate at all. I almost didn't make it to the award right before. So you get your meat inspected in the morning. So we kind of quickly shifted gears from the last turn in to, okay, let's start prepping for the next day. I opened my package of pork shoulders. Both of them are bad. And I mean bad. Like, I think Tom had to spray about a half a bottle of cologne in the RV to get the smell out. So, and it's no simple path in and out of Stagecoach. It's not like you just, you know, walk to your car and so I had to navigate my way through and make a mad dash and find a store, and I found there was a Costco that had boneless shoulders, which is not my preference and not what I typically cook, but that's all I could get and got back and made it. They had started awards. They were just about through call of chicken when I got back. So it was, one of those days.
Yeah, there was no time to celebrate because we went directly from, you know, hey, we got three good turn-ins to, oh, crap, we got rotten meat. What are we going to do now? So.
Yep. Absolutely. So, yeah, so then obviously you're getting done with awards. You're rushing back to get everything injected and rubbed or whatever you want to do on your timeline. Just something you didn't need or came kind of out of the blue you couldn't plan for.
Well, and I got to give a little shout out and little love to my boy Sterling Ball. So I called him up. He lives 5 minutes from there, and he had been out that day hanging out and visiting. And I called him up and said, "Okay, I need a cut. You know, I'm in a jam here. Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. Tell me what my options are." So he kind of gave me the lowdown on what my options were, and I was able to get out and get something. So I appreciated his support there.
Always nice to have those friends that can help take a little time off of that mad dash and scurrying. You know, one of the things that I wanted to ask you guys, and Paul, we'll go back to you, is, you know, you've got the jam. You know, when we last talked, you had just got the Jambo, and I think you maybe had only cooked one contest in it. Do you like? I mean, you used to be backwoods guys, so you were kind of that going on at 10, 11, or 12 kind of deal. How do you like the? Well, first, I'm going to make an assumption that you're running the Jambo like 95% of the other users, and you're lighting a fire around 2 o'clock and probably going on at 2:30 or 3. One, am I wrong in that assumption?
No, you're right, but we kind of transitioned into it. We started increasing our temp in our backwoods, and we're cooking our backwoods at about 275.
Okay.
And we've always once we got serious about this, and you know, kind of gave up the whole partying all night long, making bad decisions in the morning, and walking away without any money. We started going to bed. At, you know, our routine is we go to bed at 9 o'clock at night, and we're up at 3 a.m. You can set your watch by watching our RV door pop open at 3, and we had done that with the backwoods. So when we got to the Jambo, we were already kind of in the same routine. We're up at 3 a.m., you know, big meets are going on shortly thereafter. But I will tell you, it was a little bit of a struggle, not for our big meets, but chicken and ribs were a bit of a challenge to adapt. And it took us up until, you know, probably within the last couple of cooks. And this last weekend was the one where I was just really pissed off after Sam's Club. We made it, you know, we made it by the skin of our teeth. But I've been killing it last year all year long with ribs, and I've been struggling with them. Haven't been able to find a way to get them adapted to coming out the way I wanted them and the way they used to in the backwoods. I finally got it this weekend. And, you know, I practiced last week to figure it out. I practiced 2-3 days in a row. My neighbors loved it, but I was determined to figure it out, and ended up getting it, you know, this weekend. So I think we've finally gotten to that point where we figured out how to cook now all four meats in the Jambo and kind of duplicate our results from before.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's always one of the, you know, one of the things about a new pit is just getting it figured out, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously with something like that where you're going from a totally different type of cooking from a backwoods to a Jambo as far as, you know, the type of heat you're generating, the level of smoke, the fuel, et cetera. You know, yeah, they're both smokers, but they're kind of totally different ends of the spectrum when you really kind of break it down and start looking at it from a micro point of view.
Absolutely. And you know what? One of the big differences for us, too, was, you know, four different cookers. It really did, you know, if Tom opens the door on his backwoods or pulled the lid on a WSM to mess with his brisket, it didn't do anything to my ribs that were in a different cooker or
the
pork shoulder that was in a different cooker. Now you got this Jambo, and every time you open the lid to do something, it's impacting everything else in there.
Absolutely.
So we really had to kind of orchestrate, and we really now have learned to, you know, there's set times that we'll open that door up, and we're doing five different things.
Multiple things.
Yep.
Absolutely. You're just trying to minimize the amount of time that you're fighting with recovery. So I definitely, that's a really, really good point.
And Chad, one other thing that Paul forgot to mention is that one of our we have a new sponsor this year, Barbecue Island out here in Tempe, Arizona. A part of our sponsorship with them, we actually they bought an R&O smoker. And we actually cook on that, too. So we have the Jambo and the R&O. So we're not only learning the Jambo, we're also learning the R&O. Even though they're both stick burners and very similar pits, they still cook very different. So, you know, as Paul mentioned, it was a transition from the backwoods to a stick burner, but now an R&O stick burner and also a Jambo stick burner.
Man, I'll tell you what, you guys got it rough, man. Y'all are cooking on some real PLS. I'll tell you what. And I want to get back to the KCBS contest in a minute, but you gave me a good hook in there, Tom, and that's the Barbecue Island. You know, I've heard nothing but great things about that store. You know, to me, it seems like one of the few. I mean, you know, from everybody that I've talked to that's been in it. You know, I've talked to Jason Baker at GMG about just the volume of product that they move, just on a GMG side. They just seem like, and actually we've been in, the guy's name escapes me now, but we've actually been in talks about the Southern Bread Smoker going out there and being part of the line that he offers.
Yeah, Mike West.
I mean, yeah, what a just awesome, you know, everybody wishes they had one of those in their hometown because it's just really impressive when you look at what those guys do.
No, it's a great store. I mean, if you're a competition team, any supplies that you need, they have you know, all the name brands out there. Mike's always looking to bring new stuff in. If you make a recommendation, he He'll bring it in. And just like you mentioned, Southern Bread, I mean, after we got back from Plant City last year, Adam had given me some information about Southern Bread. He and Mike kind of have been communicating over the last 5-6 months, and I think they're pretty close to Mike bringing in a couple of Southern Breads out here into Arizona. And then I think Adam even talked about potentially coming out sometime in the fall and doing like a Southern Bread Smoker Day at Barbecue
yeah.
Island on Saturday and having people come out.
Yeah, that's one of the things we talked about, because he wanted to see if we could do that together. I said, absolutely. I just love to get out there and check it out. And one of the other things that tell you this guy moves weight is it's not cheap to have your own line of pellets. For you guys that are listening and someone that's looked into it, you know, usually to have, you know, your own brand of pellets, you're looking at least multiple truckload quantity commitment. So obviously when you see somebody that has their own branding for their store, it tells you that, you know, it's not a low volume operation. You know, he's definitely moving weight.
Yeah, he does. Look, he's got a huge online sales that he does, lots of products online that he moves. And, you know, Tom and I can, any event, and we're kind of all over the place. Any event that we're going to, you know, if somebody wants to order something and have us bring it to an event for them, avoid shipping, we can always do that as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it's that's a great opportunity and a great option to have. Speaking of your travels, one thing I should tell you guys, I don't know what you guys are planning the weekend before Plant City. It's not on the KCBS site yet, but I talked to the organizer a week ago. It looks like there's going to be another KCBS event that weekend about 10 minutes away from Plant City over here in Lakeland.
Okay.
They do a huge aviation show every year called Sun and Fun. I think it's probably one of the biggest flying events in the country. And they have a huge, you know, setup as far as campground, et cetera. And it looks like the weekend before Plant City, there's going to be a KCBS contest there. And then, you know, a weekend later will be Plant City. So I don't know what you guys look like schedule-wise, but I wanted to bring that up because I know you guys always come down here for that. It may be
I got the calendar right in front of me, and that weekend's blank right now, Tommy boy.
Yeah. So I mean, it may be a chance to knock out two without a whole bunch of logistical, you know, nightmare
yep.
type stuff.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We love cooking
yeah.
down there in your neck of the woods, Chad. It's great people down there. We have a lot of fun.
We love seeing y'all. We just wish y'all would leave some of that money down here for us. we hate seeing that stuff go back to the West Coast, but I guess that's our own fault. I guess we got to tighten up a little bit.
Well, we're pretty much figuring we might have to drive out your way this year because we weren't so certain anyone was going to let us borrow anything.
No, man. We'll always help out anybody we can. And I do think, as I was telling you last night when we were messaging back and forth, I did think of a – and I asked the guys in chat here. Hopefully someone will email me the guy's name. I've seen – he cooks about 8-10 contests a year, and he's got a Jambo. I think he's had it maybe a year, year and a half. And I want to say he's out of the Central Florida area, like, you know, Fort Myers or Orlando or something like that. Once I get his name and information, I'll forward it over to you. And you can reach out to him and see if he plans on cooking it or if you guys can work something out for Plant City and maybe both weekends.
That'd be awesome. Thank you, Chad. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. So, you know, you guys, you've already won. You've already qualified to go to Sam's Club Nationals. What other big contests y'all looking at? Y'all looking at going back out to the Royal this year?
Absolutely, we're planning on going there. We'll be at Sam's Club, as you mentioned. I mean, we have three GCs now. We're hoping to get back to the Jack if we can, and
yep.
You know, probably one of the premier events that Paul didn't mention earlier was the King of the Smoker in December. So we know that Sterling has that on the calendar, and we're hoping if we put up some results the next few months, we'll get an invite and go back out to that event in December also.
Dude, that just you know, everybody I've talked to about that event has just raved about it, which is, I mean, just what he's done with putting it on. It's just absolutely amazing. And to me, you know, I had one guy ask me in a contest, like, well, I mean, do you think that's fair? I mean, he just picks who he wants out there. I said, dude, the guy's doing it at a friggin' 5-star resort, putting up all the money. I was like, he can invite, if he wants to invite the 25 local Boy Scout troops, You know, he can do, you know what, it's his money, his contest.
Yeah.
He can do whatever the hell he wants to do, you know?
I tell you, it was ridiculous. I mean, it was, in 4 years, there's no question. I've never been to an event where, you know, the amenities were unbelievable. But he also took, he took great strides to make sure that it was a balanced, fair contest. From, I mean, you went in there and your tables and pop-ups were there for you. You know, you ended up with, you know, a ping pong ball with a number on it for your ice chest full of meat. So everybody was cooking the same meat. And it was just, I mean, they were, you know, absolutely, you know, on it. His whole team were just there for your, you know, your every need. And it was a hell of an event. Like Tom said, I hope we put up some numbers this year, and we're, you know, we continue to be on his radar screen, and we get a chance to come back to it. But the teams that we were cooking, we were kind of in awe of, you know, the teams that were there, and certainly, you know, humbled and honored to be able to cook in amongst that kind of a field, because there were some heavy hitters there at his comp.
Absolutely. You know, the one that just amazes me is Chris Lilly. I mean, Chris cooks maybe a half dozen events a year. But when he does, man, the dude's always right there.
Yeah,
it's really, really amazing. So that's really cool. How about, are you guys going to try to do Laughlin, Ronnie's event, the first weekend of November?
Yep, I think that one's on our schedule for sure to be there.
Cool. And then how about, have you guys qualified for the World Food Championships yet?
We're not sure. We thought that the Saturday IBC event might be a guarantee, but we have a few more contests here in Arizona, which are all automatic qualifiers, so we'll see how we do the next few months.
Man, we may see you guys a bunch of times. And I know we plan on going back to the Royal, I know we plan on doing Ronnie's, and I know we plan on doing the World Food Championship, so we may see you boys three or four times before you even make it back down here to Florida. So
hey, that'll be awesome. I love cooking with you guys.
We love that. And look, let me also tell you, we want to kind of throw out there and offer the same thing in return for, you know, some of the love and support we get. We've flown into Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, and a lot of people help us out doing this stuff. We do the same thing here. We've had a lot of teams that have come out this way, and we provide them stuff. Tom and I have a problem. We can't seem to get rid of old cookers, so they seem to be collecting in our backyard.
Yep.
So we have Backwoods, we have WSMs, we got the R&O pit, and, you know, Mike West at Barbecue Island has about anything and everything there, FECs, you know, he's got green eggs, you know, he's got everything. And, you know, we have access to those pits. He truly supports, out-of-state teams coming in. So, you know, any of your listeners are looking for, you know, are interested in coming and flying in and doing a comp, you know, we'll hook you up with extra pop-ups, tables, pits, and you know, we'll help you out.
Well, I definitely can tell you, I don't know how many of the listeners will, but I definitely, from us, we'll definitely take you up on that. I'd like to never cook a contest out in Arizona. I'd like to cross that state off the list. That's a great offer, and we'd love to take you up on it. So I appreciate you throwing that out there, guys. Before we wrap up, obviously, real quick, let's talk about the KCBS contest, you know, that you guys cooked on Sunday. Another great finish. Tom, do you kind of want to take us through the four categories?
Yeah. Hey, Paul, you want to do the four categories since I did the IBCA?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's teamwork,
so
man.
We ended up – we got three out of four calls. My boneless pork shoulder was only good enough to get us 11th place call. my boneless Costco pork shoulder. See, if it had been a boneless, if it had a bone-in Sam's Club pork shoulder, it would have been better. But
yeah, exactly.
We ended up with a first in ribs, second in chicken, seventh in brisket, and and RGC. So Brazen Barbecue, they're a couple of guys, fantastic cooks.
Yeah.
We seem to continually just be, you know, a point or two behind them, They did the same thing to us at Havocue a couple years ago. They took GC and we took RGC. A couple great guys have a restaurant, and I think it's San Diego, but are phenomenal cooks. So they took GC and we took RGC day two.
Well, I remember that year we cooked next to each other in Vegas at the Orleans. Those guys went in like RGC to contest on Saturday, came in there Saturday night, and then won Ronnie's contest the next damn day.
Yeah, they got in at like 11 o'clock or midnight. Yeah,
yeah.
They've been known to do that.
Yeah,
I mean, just absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
and they're just class acts. Great guys, nicest guys in the world, and you know that always makes it a little bit more palatable if you got to lose. If
yeah.
you're losing the at least nice guys that you like, it's
absolutely.
All right. Yeah.
I completely agree. So what's on the horizon for you guys here in the next couple of weeks, Paul?
Well, we'll be heading up to Sholo this weekend. Tommy Duncan and John, what's John's last name? Lynch? Is that it? Can't remember.
Yep.
Are putting on an event up in Sholo, and we're real excited about it. It's kind of another one of those kind of small town kind of events. I think it's a first year event. I think they're building it around, you know, kind of a whole festival kind of thing. And so we'll be heading up there to do that, and then we've got a week or two off until
Memorial Day. We'll be cooking at Chester's Harley Davidson in Mesa. There's a charity ride there for some of the fallen soldiers. And then come June and July, we're going to be, Colorado, Nevada, Northern California. We're kind of getting out of Arizona for the summer, similar to our little trip we did last year.
New Mexico?
Awesome.
Yep.
That sounds good. Yeah, I would say it's kind of like Florida during the summer. If you can go cook somewhere out of the area, it helps. It's not going to be nearly as sweltering.
Exactly.
And plus, I don't know about you guys in Arizona. I mean, we've really trimmed back here in Florida. I mean, there'll be 3 or 4 contests the whole summer. Just because, you know, folks know that they're not going to get a great turnout between how damn hot kids being out of school, et cetera. It just makes turnouts not nearly as good as the other 9 months out of the year.
I can't afford to keep buying more 30 amp adapters that were melting down because it's, you know, 115 out. So we got to head to the high country.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Man.
Well, yeah, they'll be in June. There's two in Arizona. There's a Williams event, which is great up by the Grand Canyon, and then Holbrook, and that's kind of it for Arizona until the fall. So things pretty much shut down in our state, and we kind of head north, west, and east to cook.
Very cool. What you know, I know we didn't get a chance to hit on all of them, Tom. Do you want to hit on some of your sponsors before we get out of here?
Really, the two primary sponsors for this year, we have Oak Ridge Rubs. If you guys haven't tried their products, give Mike a call, and especially the Game Changer Brine and the Secret Weapon, two of our favorites. And he just recently released the Black Ops Brisket Rub. We highly recommend it. And you talked about him a minute ago, Chad, Mike West over at Barbecue Island. Great online store. If you're out west, stop in there. Mike's got a lot of stuff, and he's always looking at new products to the product line.
Well, guys, best of luck. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Congrats on the great turnout this weekend, and I wish you all the continued success in the world, boys.
Thank you, buddy. We'll look forward to seeing you here in a few months.
All right, man.
Thanks,
sounds
Chad.
Good. Take care, guys.
Take care, brother.
Bye, guys.
See you. All right, guys. There they are again, Tom and Drew, IAB 30. What did I see? No, Tom and Paul. Paul, I always get that screwed up. Paul. IAB 30, great guys. If you've never met them, you'll they'll eventually be coming to your city. Great folks. They do a good job, and congrats on this weekend. And if you ever do see them, you've never met them, go over and introduce them to you. Couldn't find two nicer guys in the world. They're a real joy to barbecue and cook with and against. So want to thank them. Real quick before we go over to Brian from Grizzly, want to say congratulations to Craig Sherry over at Texas Pepper Jelly. We announced today on Facebook that he is going full-time with TPJ, quitting his job of 24 years, and is going to focus on Texas Pepper Jelly. I think it is awesome. I think it is very cool to watch a man that has developed great products, be able to build his business in a way that he's allowed, afforded the opportunity to go out and do that full time. And Craig's always had great products, as you know. We talk about them here every week. We love the rib candy. Hits the majority of our turn-ins. The pepper jelly, it's great with cutting into sauces to give you that unique flavor that's going to kind of make the judges perk up and pay attention. And just couldn't be happier for Craig as a friend. So we will try to rise him up here in the next couple of weeks, have him on the show. I know he's got some big things planned, and now that he's going to be able to be full-time on this, I think we're going to see some pretty, pretty awesome things come out of it. So TexasPepperJelly.com. You can also pick it up over at TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. Speaking of that, we will be doing a $10 BarbecueSuperstore.com giveaway very soon here during the show, so keep your ears out. All right, going over to Brian from Grizzly. Maybe.
How's it going?
Hey, Brian. How's it going, buddy?
Good. Great.
Dude, great to have you in the pit the first time. So just going to kind of start off and let the listeners learn a little bit about Grizzly Coolers, kind of a little bit about your background and how this thing, you know, started and took off.
Okay. Grizzly Coolers is owned by the Mount family in northeast Iowa. We've been rotomolding molding coolers since 1983, so it's a long a long term stable company. The Grizzly coolers that you see now on the out and about were actually about a year and a half old. Our outdoor coolers as a product line are about came out about 1999, but they're rotomolded construction, super heavy duty. What we're hearing from the teams is they're loving the oversized handles on those,
mm-hmm.
The durability, like I said, and then also the ice retention.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I was talking to Rub and Dan both. The one thing I noticed about them that I really like too is I like the closures. You know, us barbecue guys, we're known for, you know, kind of throwing coolers in there and we try to strap them down and this and that, but, you know, sometimes they move around a little bit when you're going a couple hundred miles. But
sure.
With that, you know, and then, you know, if you look at some of the other comparable ones, you end up, you know, having hinges crack and those type of things. And when I kind of looked at the closure method you guys have on the Grizzlies, I really, really like it. It was one of the first things that kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah, you've got, you know, talking about that hinge, it's an integrated hinge, so it's never going to break there. Once again, super durable, and the pin going through there is stainless steel. So, you know, it's there for a lifetime. The latches on the front that you talked about are full rubber latches made here in the U.S. that easily replaceable if you have to. But, yeah, super durable. They're not going to crack. They're not going to fly off. You're not going to have a lid fly off the cooler going down the highway.
Very cool. So what was some of the... from just trying to get myself familiar with the brand, I mean, it seems like you guys are huge on the hunting side of things.
Yeah.
Was that kind of the inspiration behind the line of outdoor coolers?
That's exactly right. The family that I mentioned took an elk hunting trip out west numerous years ago. That's what spurred the whole line, you know, of heavy-duty outdoor-type coolers. Brand got reinvigorated about 2 years ago. And you know, some of the guys here have a passion for cooking, and I had a little bit of an ulterior motive when I got a hold of Dan. I saw that he had that perfect score, and I was hoping to get some tips on some ribs. I don't know if he knows that or not, but that's how that first ball got rolling, and started working with him. And you know, then, you know, some of the other teams that you're talking about came on board, and I think everybody's just loving the cooler.
Yeah, absolutely, and we appreciate you letting us be part of the team. We look forward to, you know, down here in Florida, especially with the sweltering heat, when we talk about some of the ice retention that you're getting out of some of the different models, it's really a big deal, because I know there's certain times where, you know, you've got some leftovers on ice and you get home at midnight on Saturday and you're like, man, the last thing I want to do is drop the door to this trailer and move things around and get the cooler. You know, so knowing that, hey, I've got until, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, hell, with your cooler, you could have till Tuesday morning if you wanted it.
yep.
But to know you have those degrees of freedom is nice too. Plus, there's a lot of times we'll go to a contest and we'll drop our trailer on Thursday night and we won't go back out there until, you know, Friday at maybe 3 or 4 o'clock.
Right.
You know, and you always wonder, you always put that extra bag of ice in there because you're like, well, in that trailer, it could get up to 115, 120 degrees and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, knowing that you're going to use a cooler with this kind of construction and this kind of ice retention, you know, it really just kind of takes one of those, you know, worries off the radar for you.
Right. You know, combined with that, once you bring that temperature down on the inside of that cooler, it just, you know, it'll like that 150, it'll be, you know, that's rated at 11 days and 4 hours with cube ice. So, you know, it's definitely significant and definitely, you know, good for what you guys are using it for. Also mentioned the locking areas on all those coolers. So it'll keep unwanted visitors out of that as well.
Oh, very nice. I had missed that when I was looking through there. That's really nice to know.
Yep. You can padlock, you know, both ends of that. So.
Yeah, and one of the things that I would tell you guys, I mean, when we were talking about it, I mean, for me, as far as the amount of meat that we cook at a contest, I think you're great being able to go with a 150 and a 60. A 150, that'll get all your competition meats in it. Yeah, it'll fit nice and snug. And then you got your 60 for your drinks, because obviously you don't want to be drinking beer out of the same cooler you had your raw chicken in. Now, I mean, some of you guys may be, you know, Grizzly 16s for your drinks, but us here at Whiskey and Barbecue, we're definitely going to need the 60.
Yeah, 16s for your sauces, right?
Exactly. There you go. Yeah, because I think if we just had a 16 full of beer, it'd do nothing but just make us thirsty. You know, it's good to see. And so you kind of reached out to Dan from the rib side to talk a little bit about that. And then kind of, I mean, you know, you guys just started talking about how it could be applicable. And I mean, we do. I mean, we spend a ton of money on ice. And knowing you can get, you know, a cooler like this. I mean, yeah, guys, I'm not going to sit there and fool you. I mean, it's more expensive than going out and buying your run-of-the-mill, you know, Coleman or something like that. But you got, I mean, this is a lifetime cooler. You take care of this thing, it's going to last you your entire cooking.
Yeah, each one of those coolers do have, you know, like you mentioned, that lifetime warranty on it. You know, you combine that with, you know, the different color options and all that as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at the 150 right now online, and looks like we've got about 10 different color options.
Yep.
You know, Jim Elser, I see pink out there. I mean, that may be for you, buddy. You know, that may be Sweet Smoke Q's signature color, the pink Grizzly cooler. They look really, really good.
One other thing on the color there too. If you guys talk to some of the dealers, we've actually helped out of, you know, made a few changes and put gray lids on some of those
mm-hmm.
due to, you know, color and having, you know, non-staining type deals. I've heard that white is an issue sometimes for you guys.
Yeah, it can be. You know, I mean, sometimes if you're pulling a hot pan out of the cooker and your cooler just happens to be there. You know, you'll set that paint on top of the cooler, and it can get a little bit of discoloration. So, yeah, I could see where the gray would you know, maybe clean up a little bit easier and a little bit better. On the 150, guys, just so you understand, we were talking about the capacity of it. You know, it's a large cooler. It comes in at 54 pounds. It's around a little bit over 48 inches wide, 22 and a half inches of depth, and 20 and a half inches of height. So, I mean, it's plenty big enough for a couple packs of ribs, a couple packs of butts, a brisket or two, and, you know, 20 pieces of chicken or so. It's the perfect fit.
Yeah, right on. It measures right out there at right at 150 quarts.
Excellent. So, you know, you talk about the brand kind of being, you know, re-energized, I'll say, over the last couple of years. Are you guys starting to see some traction, you know, not only in your dealer network, but with some of the bigger box guys that are starting to stand up and take notice?
Yeah, we've been in Cabela's stores for, you know, since the beginning, and also Sportsman's Warehouse and some of those larger stores, as well as, you know, growing our smaller dealer network is where we're kind of focusing now. You know, getting the product out there. So, you know, we hear it all the time on our website. Where can I get it? Where can I find it? And we're working really hard to get that done.
Excellent. You know, and one of the things I look at, guys, we were talking about it being a little bit of an investment on the cooler, but with the lifetime guarantee. But let's sit there and think about the value of what you're going to put in that 150. If you're cooking a prime brisket, that's a $80 to $100 brisket. If you're cooking a Wagyu, that's a $130 to $160 brisket. On the pork shoulders, I mean, if you're cooking just regular old Sam's pork and you're cooking two packs, that's probably $70. If you're cooking Duroc or Berkshire, probably $100, $120. You're going to have $70 worth of ribs in there, and you're going to have $30, $50 worth of chicken. So if you look at it, you have a cooler go bad, you know, you've lost close to $500 worth of meat. So why don't you go out there and just make the initial investment of $500 and know that, you know, you're not going to have those worries anymore. I mean, we're talking about ice retention of over 11 days. You know, this is something you need to look at. So I know when I looked at the investment myself, and I've talked to some other guys about it, when you really look at it like that, you're like, you know, no-brainer. I mean, you know, for guys like us that are going to cook 15, 20 contests this year, you know, it's the perfect fit.
Yeah, in addition to that 150, if somebody's looking for something a little bit in between there this summer, there'll be a 75. It fits in between those two coolers, and then also there'll be a 45.
Nice. It's a little line extension there.
Yep.
Very good. I like that. So I was going to ask about some of the things that were on the horizon. Obviously, you know, like you said, you guys are always working on the distribution angle of things. You know, it looks like you're coming out with two new sizes. Anything else kind of on the horizon you can talk about, Brian?
That's really all of it right now, is just, you know, working on getting down in the southeast a little bit more on the distribution, rolling out those two new sizes that are just going to be, you know, really filling in a niche for us and helping, you know, filling the line out is the big push right now.
One of the things, you know, we'll bring them up. They're kind of the guys that have always, you know, had a big name in the insulated cooler market, and
sure,
you know, that's Yeti.
Yep.
What would you say, you know, when you're talking to just kind of the layman that's seen all the advertising, and maybe they watch Bassmasters and they know of Yeti, you know, et cetera. How do you compare the Grizzly to that type of cooler or that brand cooler?
Well, if you talk about the construction process and the materials, you're looking at the same thing. So what you really need to look at are the attributes of one that you like over the other. You know, you look at molded in handles, you look at color options, you look at lifetime warranty. You know, you look at things like that. You know, both are great products. Both are super durable. Both have great ice retention.
Excellent. How do you guys do that ice retention test, if you don't mind me asking? That's just me being a little bit analytical, but I'm just curious.
Sure. You've got we're using cube ice. We're not using block ice or dry ice or anything like that, just regular cube ice you buy in the bag. We set our room at 80 degrees ambient, shut the door, keep it at that temperature. We check it, open it twice a day, and that duration is until there is not a cube ice left. Of course, the water is still cold and all that, but when the last bit of ice is gone, that's when the test ends. That's checking it, like I said, twice a day and 80 degrees all the time.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's a good question to ask, because I don't know if there's a standard out there, but that's how we do ours.
Very cool. Talk a little bit about, I was looking on the website at, you know, when you talk about, you know, this really having an origin in hunting.
Yeah.
And kind of just the makeup of the cooler and some of the tests that you guys have put it through to really be able to call it, you know, rather indestructible.
There's a couple of you know, durability tests that I would say. The coolers are certified grizzly bear resistant. So, I mean, that's one show of durability. I've got a couple of videos that I placed on there. We put an 11,000-pound tractor on top of our smallest cooler. I mean, just super durable.
That's just absolutely amazing. It's really, really cool that it can take that type of punishment. One of the other things, I'm having to go back to my notes here one second. The other thing was kind of looking at, at not just, you know, if you're a guy listening, I mean, we have a lot of guys that are competition cooks that listen, but we also have, the, you know, the guys that are just, you know, tailgaters. And I think that's probably on those two new sizes you're going to, that's probably the market you're trying to hit, isn't it?
That's a, you know, it's really targeted towards a marine cooler, and it's yes, that 40 is going to be a, you know, a great size for that. The 150 is all that, you know, two people can handle to move that around. 60 is tough for one person. Obviously, the 400 needs the forklift pockets that it's got. So, you know, 40 is going to be a nice tailgating size cooler.
Yeah. The forklift pockets. That's when you bag that big old piece of game, huh?
Yeah, people love that cooler. Put it in the back of your pickup and, you know, head out west and put all your gear in that. Hopefully, you know, get something and bring it back.
That's absolutely amazing. I got to think that, what is that thing weighing at just dry? It's got to be, you know,
well, it's about 100 pounds.
100 pounds?
Yep.
Pretty interesting. One of the things I thought was cool, too, is, I mean, you guys offer kind of a custom cooler option. You know, have you done any of those from like a branding and marketing point of view?
You got a little choppy on me, but I think you said, is there a custom option?
Yeah. I was looking at kind of what you guys had on the website as far as some of the custom coolers you've done as far as colors and logos.
Yeah.
Do you find that being popular with some folks that do some branding?
Yeah, definitely color options. You know, if you look, you know, you brought up other cooler manufacturers, and you know I mentioned color, and that's one thing that that we can do that a lot of the other in the segment don't. Being a rotomolder and a rotomolder of coolers first, you know, we've got, you know, limitless amount of colors as long as we've got, you know, specific quantities that we need to hit. But chances are we've got that color here. Then you've got options for, you know, adhesive graphics on them to hydro-dip lids to, you know, sky's really the limit.
That is awesome. And, you know, the other thing I want to make sure we don't gloss over is, you know, completely made in the USA product, which, you know, I mean, just speaks for itself, not only from a workmanship, but just a patriotic point of view. You always feel better when you can buy something that's, you know, made in the USA and it's keeping jobs here in the homeland.
For sure.
Excellent. Brian, it's kind of went by pretty quick, but the majority of our segment is up. Is there anything else? You know, folks, you can go over to grizzlycoolers.com. You can check them out there. I know you guys are also on Facebook, correct, Brian, at Grizzly Coolers?
Yeah. Check it out on the website, and then also YouTube and Facebook as well.
Excellent, man. Well, like I said, once again, I appreciate you letting us be part of the Grizzly Cooler team. And we'll check back in with you every couple of months and see if there's anything new going on. And just thanks for the time, man.
Proud to have you. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Take care, Brian.
Take care, boy.
All right, bye-bye. All right, guys, there's Brian from Grizzly Coolers. Checking in, telling us all about Grizzly. Go check him out, grizzlycoolers.com. Really excited. I before the show started, was looking at the tracking number on when mine will be here. Can't wait to break him out of the box and take all those old coolers that we've got and put them out in the storage shed because we're not going to need them anymore. So really, really looking forward to that. So go check them out, grizzlycoolers.com. You know, it's one of those things, guys. Yeah, it's a little bit of an initial investment, but it's the right investment, lifetime warranty. It's a cooler that's going to take care of you. You know how that goes. If you go cheap, you're going to get cheap. If you put a little bit of coin towards it, you're going to get something that's going to last you a lifetime. So grizzlycoolers.com. We've got a couple minutes to kill before we get Bubba Latimer to join us. We did talk about the barbecuesuperstore.com earlier. I want to hit on a couple things there, and you may want to listen up because that could lead in to what's going to win you that $10 gift certificate tonight. Some of the new products that they are now carrying, they've got the Pitmaster IQ110 automatic temperature controller, easy hooks. We talked about this one last time we had Rich on the show, the barbecue butchula, which is the spatula that can flip a pork butt or grab a pork butt. Got the whole line of Stubbs barbecue marinades. They've got Malcolm Reed's Killer Hogs Rub and Sauce. And then they've also got Harry Sue's Competition Chicken Rub. Guys, I've always told you from day one, if you want Rich and Mark to carry something, just send them an email. And you can see with what they're adding to the site. They're kind of wanting this to be your one-stop shop, guys. You know, so just get in there, do it, get what you need. You know, it's where we do all of our shopping for contests. I actually need to make an order out here this week for our contest coming up on the weekend of the 17th. So I'll be doing that. But, you know, nothing better than doing business with guys that are in the business of competition barbecue because they know what you need from a quality point of view and they know what you need from a delivery and time point of view. So, great guys. Go check them out. And we will actually probably have a giveaway. Let's go ahead and just do it now. All right. It's going to be a question. The question is, you had to be listening in the first segment. What place did IAB 30 finish in on chicken at the IBCA contest on Saturday at Stagecoach? Now, I'm going to tell you, we're going to see how many of you guys were off, you know, grabbing a beer during that interview. Because, I mean, it was said what they finished in chicken. Tom told us. So that's the question. It's going to win you a $10 gift certificate to thebarbecuesuperstore.com. Call in. Number's 347-202-0263. Spider, Blake, I'm not accepting answers through chat. You're both dead-ass wrong. So I will tell you, you need to go up from there. But if you want to call in, 347-202-0263, $10, thebarbecuesuperstore.com. Right now there's a 910 area code in. You've kind of been there, so I think you listen to the show. We got a 678. I think that may be Bubba. Hold on a second.
Hey.
Who we got? We got Bubba?
What's going on, Chad?
Hey, what's going on, brother? I appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of the day. It sounds like you got a busy 2 days lined up, my friend.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I got 1600 for lunch tomorrow, then 2800 on Thursday, and then I have a 3800-person luncheon next Tuesday.
Good Lord, Bubba. How do you handle that kind of, I mean, that kind of capacity?
It's, you know, planning is the key to the whole thing. I mean, you know, it's planning and transport.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing I'm thinking about is, I mean, you know, you're responsible for keeping that at a food safe temperature, et cetera. I mean, there's only so many Cambros and things in the world when you're figuring out how to feed 3,800 people.
That's it. I mean, it's a lot of logistics that go into stuff like that. So, you know, for the month of May, I knew last week we had over 14,000 people on the books for catering in May alone. And,
wow.
You know, you start getting into that, you know, I mean, you just have to sit down and you know, get with your staff and the people that are involved and really put together the planning and the logistics. And you have to think about timing of things, you know, like, you know, we've got chicken. You know, it takes an hour to load that much chicken just to go into the cooker, you know, and those little things, you know, that extra hour has to come into play, you know, and then it's a little extra cook time. It's the time to get it off. You know, all these things is, you know, we've got to leave by 8:30 in the morning to get out to be able to set up and get things ready for this luncheon. So just planning, that's the big thing to deal with it. You know, I mean, it's a lot of work up front and during it, but as long as you have your game plan together and stick with it, and if things come up, just deal with it as it happens.
And is this a usual May for you, or is it kind of heavier than past years?
Well, this is heavier than last year. I'll give it that. I mean, these two that we've got right off the bat, I mean, you know, it's big. The one that we have over the next 2 days, originally it was going to be one luncheon. You know, these are for office complexes, you know, like mm-hmm. tenant appreciation things and all. And fortunately, we were able to get them to divide it up over 2 days, which really helps out. I'm going to go. Plus, part of it, you know, that where we're setting up, we have some logistics of where we have a prep area to where the serving and everything is going to be.
Sure.
And maneuvering and getting around. So it really worked out to be able to get it over 2 days. And the complex is kind of spread out, too, so that makes it even better. You know, but the one that we've got next Tuesday, you know, we actually have a beautiful staging area set up that is right behind where everything is going to be done. And so, you know, we'll have, you know, I have a 750 mounted on a trailer.
Mm.
So, you know, a Southern Pride. So that mm-hmm. helps. That's our backup cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we, you know, so I've got a 1,000-pound unit in the restaurant and a 750. And, you know, I actually just put a new 500-pound unit in my Jasper store. And I've got a 350-pound unit for sale that I even thought about mounting on another trailer to have for another backup.
Just to get you through.
Yeah, I mean, there's days that, I mean, Lord have mercy. You know, I wonder sometimes how we're able to get stuff done. But, you know, we've always made it happen, and you know, that's what you have to do. You just have, you know, even when the shit hits the fan, you just gotta, you know, just go with it and get it done. I mean, the thing is, you know, I mean, you know, you've done catering, and I'm sure just about everybody listening out there has done catering of some kind, if that's not what they're into. You know, things come up, and what people remember about catering most of all is the food. And who
yep.
gets blamed for everything is the person doing the food.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
And it's one of those things, if you do it well, you know, it's going to be a customer for life. But, man, if one little thing goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be it's going to be an ass chewing, you know. So
well, and that one, I have two jobs that we stole from competitors. As a matter of fact, the next 2 days we stole from a competitor. I've got a 600 person job coming up that we stole. I didn't care if that one was six people. I just wanted that job so bad it wasn't funny. We've been busting our butt working on that end of it, you know, going out and doing tastings, you know, with these property managers and things of that, and it's worked out great. You know, we put on a big show for them, and you know, we don't give them samples. We feed them. I mean,
right.
And we feed them good. You know, and that's what they remember. I mean, shit, if you bring me a little damn slider for lunch and a, you know, 2 ounce thing of baked beans, I don't care about that.
No.
You know, I want to eat and taste the food. And so that's what we do. You know, we pull butts in front of them and cut ribs and brisket and do, I mean, you know, we get a lot. I mean, it costs me $100 to $125 just in food to go do these tastings.
Right. But that's the right. I mean, that's the image you want your brand to have, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I mean, you've been around business long enough. I mean, you got to spend money to make money.
That's it.
And don't get me wrong, when all the spending is piling up and the making ain't in line with it, yeah, it can get a little bit frustrating. But at the end of the day, it kind of all works itself out.
It's interesting you say that, you know, because you know I get phone calls from people all the time wanting to know about little things, and they're you know you have to be able to spend money to
yep.
make things happen. And by all means, I fully understand and respect you know position that some people are in and. And sometimes people can't cover the cost up front of what they need to get done. But, you know, you have to look at a long-term outlet of it. You know, if you're somebody that does a catering here or there and you're going to have to go spend $500 to get a job done, you know, it's all relevant to that situation or can you use those items for later down the road. But if I had to go spend $500 on a $2,000 catering job, by the time
yeah.
I'm said and done with this job, I'm only making a few hundred dollars.
Right,
for me
right.
personally, it's
yep.
not worth it. And for most people, realistically, it's not worth it. You know, because the one thing that most people tend to forget about is their time. Your
oh,
time, my
you,
time, you know, it's all worth money.
And that's the number one thing. When I hear a guy throw a catering number out there, I'm like, man, I was like, do you not value your time at all? I mean, it's going to take you all weekend. You know, you're not, I don't see how you're making any money. You know,
and that's
a good point you made is you've got to put some type of value on. I don't care if you were just going to sit on the couch.
Your time is something. That's
yeah.
exactly right. Now,
absolutely.
Now for somebody like myself or anybody else that is in the business, you know, we're typically in production, so I can do things cheaper than what you can, hypothetically, because, you know, you've got to go out and get all the stuff set up and all of that. You know, where
yep.
I'm running every day,
sure.
I just increase amounts of what I'm doing. So that
does
make it a little bit easier.
But the other thing you have to watch, too, is, I mean, you know, I've ate at your stores a couple of times, and, I mean, you're always such a stickler for making sure the quality at the store is spot on, too. And so you can't let these caterings become such a distraction that your everyday returning customers get disappointed either. So that's a fine line there, too, brother.
That it is. So
awesome.
Anyway.
So have you been making this more concentrated effort on the caterings? I mean, you know,
far
as, you know, dedicating more time to it?
Yeah, we have. You know, we started looking at it about 6 months ago at where and what we could do and avenues that we could go down to really increase that side of the business. You know, I mean, we do our fair share of it, but, you know, there's so much out there, and, you know, there's more people spending money out there than people realize.
Yep.
Realistically. I understand everybody's point of view at looking to try and save money and the value of a dollar. But I used to be under the, I always wanted to try and do everything that I could. And there's some jobs that, you know what, you really don't need it. You know, it's not worth it. You know,
yep.
You know, people want to beat you down on price, this, that, and the other. And just because you're working and there's money coming in does not mean that it's worth it, which also coincides back into your time is worth something.
Yep.
But, you know, we really got into and started looking at ways to move that and increase that side of the business. And we've been working hard on it for the last several months. And it's done well. It's done real well.
That's great to hear, man. That's great to hear. Before we get into the contest this weekend, I got a question for you, man. I'm a fellow Jeep guy myself. I love them. I saw on Facebook a couple of days ago, you had posted a picture of that sweet CJ5.
Yeah.
Did you pull the trigger on it?
Yeah. It was actually a CJ7. I had a CJ7 about 20 years ago, and then Shannon got pregnant, you know, and that Jeep was my toy, and we were just having a blast rebuilding it and tooling around with it, and then. Yeah, you have baby or Jeep, baby or Jeep, baby or Jeep. Well, that argument doesn't get won any way that you could.
Oh,
we got rid of it, and it's, you know, I've always in the back of my mind wanted to have another one. And, you know, when I bought my car last year, I was actually looking at one. And, you know, I bought my car, and I always thought, man, I still want a Jeep. And I look every few weeks, And, God, them damn CJs, man, they hold their value. It's unbelievable.
Sure do. Yep.
I mean, beat it out, rust buckets are going for $5,000.
Yep.
And, you know, and I didn't want to spend $5,000 and have to put $5,000 in it just to drive it down the road.
Right.
So, this guy, I saw that he had this one and ran up Thursday, looked at it. I pretty much made a deal with him on the phone. And, you know, the body, there's no rust on it. It's got a new rebuilt motor and transmission in it. You know, it looks clean. And, you know, it's something that, it's just a toy. That's all it is. You know, we can go and tool around in. My boys will be able to drive it. You know, it's an automatic, so Shannon can drive it.
Yep.
You know, but, it's just one of those things that you just want to have and play around with. I mean, I'm not looking to build or have a show Jeep or anything like that.
No.
Just a toy. That's all that it is.
Just
and
something
you know what?
Just something you and the kids can jump in on Saturday morning, go get some breakfast, you know.
That's it. And for $3,800, this thing was a steal that I got on it. So I said, I'd pass it up.
Yeah, it looked real good. What year is it? Somebody in chat wanted to ask.
That's a 78.
Awesome. Awesome.
You know,
so cool.
It's got 78 with a 304, the quadra track transmission in it. And then, you know, we're going to put a 6-inch lift on it and, you know, do some, you know, I mean, mechanically, the thing is sound as can be, you know, there's a few cosmetic things, but, you know, that's all there is. You know, I mean, hell with Jeep, you can just keep spending money and spending money.
Yo, you know, the one thing I like about them though, at that time, I mean, there ain't a much simpler vehicle to work on.
Well,
I mean,
it's a carburetor, it's a battery, an alternator, and an engine. That's all the hell it is. It's not computer, this, that, and the other.
Nope.
I mean,
there's a ton of room to get in there and work on it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like
lift that damn hood and you can crawl inside it.
You can. I can't, but you can.
All right, you got me there.
That's,
speaking of which, I have to ask you. All right, what is this video I saw with you and Michael Mixon at the bar? I think y'all are in Venice, and what are you trying to do, the hokey pokey or like some hula belly dancing thing?
I really don't know. Yeah, it was at Venice, and I was buying a couple of drinks. I just had 100, so I gave the chick 100, and I was waiting for my change. She goes, "Well, you got to dance to get your change." And I was like, "Well, I don't plan on leaving an $80 tip, so I guess I'm gonna have to dance." And so, of course, man, dude, you always got to watch out when Rob Bagby's around, man. He's like the investigator. So mm-hmm. I did a little jig, and next thing I know, I see Rob, you know, pounding out a Facebook message. So that was the story of that. Michael couldn't quit laughing, man. He was cracking me up.
Yeah, that was good.
So absolutely. Yeah, it was one of those times. I don't have a chance of getting in a lot on Thursday nights for contests. So.
Right.
When I do, I mean, I really enjoy it because, I mean, it's just so nice to be able to socialize with everybody and you know, and it just has so less stress as a Friday night does, you know, at a contest. That was cool.
Well, good.
So, speaking of contests, man, let's talk about Calhoun, man. You had a great cook. Is that one of those that's always on your radar? I know you try to cook as many of the Georgia contests, especially when they're close to the stores. You know, you like
right.
to do that just from a PR point of view. Is this a first-year contest, or is it one that's always been on your radar?
Well, that's a second-year contest. You know, we went and did it last year. And it's, what, 45 minutes from me. So, you know, anything that is close, I really try and do definitely from a PR standpoint of view. I try and do any contest, you know, if for various reasons, you know, and I mean, to help support the cause, this, that, and the other, I mean, a number of things in there. But it was an interesting contest, I have to say, from my end of it. I did a test cook on Friday. I've had an idea on some technique for cooking. So I did it Friday afternoon, and it came out fabulous. So I'm like, all right, I have this whole – and I'm notorious for trying new things out on the road. You know,
and now,
three outs,
what category was this, Bubba?
This was going to be for pork and brisket.
Okay.
You know, so, I'm notorious for doing new things out on the road because the reality is I don't have time when I'm at home to practice. You know, you think I do, but I really have to dedicate time to practice things at home. And, you know, so I play with these things out on the road. So, you know, I do this test cook Friday, and it came out fabulous. I'm like, man, this is great. I love the way it works. And so I have this whole game plan of what I'm going to do. So I go to bed Friday night, have all my prep and everything done. Well, I wake up about 2.5 hours late, realistically. I woke up at, you know, I'm usually putting my food on anywhere from 10 to 12 o'clock at night. You know, and, you know, part of what I was doing was, you know, playing around with cooking, you know, hotter and faster. I'm not necessarily converting over to the hot and fast cook,
right.
But, you know, and especially with the stumps that I cook on, you know, I don't need to, but just something I've been wanting to play around with. You know, I wake up, it's 3:33 a.m. I go out, check the cooker. It's at 200 degrees with radiant heat. There's no coals in it whatsoever. I'm like, oh shit, I'm in trouble now. Yeah, so here I am. I'm down, you know, cleaning out the ash pan, lighting the cooker back up, and it was about 4:07 before I got food on the cooker.
Oh.
And you know, and for me, I mean, you know, this is, you know, I mean, I originally planned on starting to cook between 2 and 2:30, so you know,
right.
I'm 2 hours behind basically on this, you know, and it's not so much that, you know, of that initial stuff, but now I have to start calculating things for chicken and ribs.
Absolutely.
You know, that's, you know, because I'm only dealing with the one cooker that I've got.
Yep.
You know, so, I'm up, you know, and Shannon's coming out there going, why are you staying up? I'm like, you just don't understand. Right now is like, it's just hitting the fan. We got to watch it die. We got to do this. Well, you can just come back to bed for like half an hour. I'm like, no, I can't.
Oh.
I got to be up. You know, I mean, this, you know, we're down. The game is on.
Yep.
So, you know, it's moving along. I had my pork and brisket out by 7 a.m., wrapped up by 7 a.m., you know, and then I've got to start trying to get the cooker to cool down to get my ribs and stuff in. You know, and I went ahead and got my – I waited a little bit to put the ribs in, put them in. I still probably could have waited another half hour. I do feel like my ribs cooked fast. Well, I know that they did. They were too tender. You know, chicken worked out great. But, you know, we got done. Now, I will say that I felt my brisket Saturday was – it was strong. It was one of those that you just know is there. That son of a bitch was spot on. I would have laid money down that I was in the top two, maybe three in brisket.
And that's something for you, because, I mean, you're a brisket cook. You've cooked some pretty damn good briskets.
It is. I'm telling you, man, that damn thing, it was incredible. I mean, it really was incredible. We go through the whole motion to the cook getting turned in, you know, on our ribs. Like I said, we did, I do feel like my ribs were overcooked, and we waited, you know, we pulled them out just a little early and set them up and then turned them in right at the last minute, to get them to firm up some. And I guess it worked out for us. You know, I forget what call we had in ribs out there.
Six.
But it was, it was a long morning, long night. And even though the issues that we had, I still felt like we had a good cook. I didn't know that we had a winning cook, but we did have a good cook, with the adversities that had come up. There were some good cooks out there, by all means, you know, I mean, guys on for the points. Well, you know, while there are no GBC points on this one, you know, cause that was down in Columbus this weekend, but you know, there were some good cooks out there.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, I'm looking at it. I mean, Georgia Boys is tough. Blue Bloods, mm-hmm. Southern mm-hmm. Q. I mean, you had some really good cookers out there. Moyers, Deep South.
Oh yeah. And Blue Bloods, you know, his brisket, he had a fabulous brisket this weekend. It wasn't quite as strong as mine, I'll give it that, but he did, and he wasn't happy with it. He let me try a piece that morning, and he was like, "This ain't worth a shit, da da da." And I was like, "I don't know. I would turn that damn thing in any given day of the week."
And just for you guys listening that haven't looked at the results, you know, Bubba's sitting here telling us I didn't know if it was a winning cook. He only won the contest by 22 points overall. So
yeah, that was...
Yeah, that's a strong number, man. Anytime you break that 700, man, that's a beast.
You know, breaking 700 is something else. You know, and I actually reserved three contests last year with over 700. But you know, I mean, when we go to awards and, you know, do the thing and get down, and, you know, of course we're looking good, you know, through pork, and we get the brisket, and I told Shannon, I said, "I think we won this contest." She's like, "Don't jinx it. Don't do that." And I mean, she goes through the whole thing, but I'm just like, that brisket, if we didn't win brisket, then we're all the way at the bottom. It just, I mean, it was that good. So, you know, when we got the brisket call, we knew we won, but, you know, God, by the scoring, I mean, I wouldn't have had a clue that it was that strong. I mean, that's, you know, what, 22, 23 points, whatever it was, for myself to reserve. I mean, for anybody, that is a big number.
That's huge.
You know, so, you know, and Dawn, you know, and Bo, you know, they had a great cook this weekend, you know, as well as several other people, you know, but, you know, everything just lined up for us realistically. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, I was sitting there talking, you know, Moyers, Jeremy Moyer, and for anybody that doesn't know him, super guy, great guy, and if you see him out there, you need to introduce yourself. You know, he started cooking June of last year, and just a great guy. You know, we've gotten to be pretty good friends. And I'm talking with him that morning, you know, and we're talking about what all was going on, and something came up about all the issues that were happening. And I said, well, you know, issues like this are what separates people that know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of flavor profiles, being the best cook, this, that, or the other. When things happen, can you keep control and maintain and move on?
Yep.
You know, and I think that that's something that, you know, people don't, they you don't think about. I mean, how often do you think about, well, I'm going to oversleep 2-3 hours and get up and knock this shit out? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that, I'm going to tell you, that's not in my strategic planning anywhere out there, you know.
You haven't practice-cooked that, have you?
No, you don't practice-cook that one. You know, and I look back, went down at Slidell last year, John with Parrot Head, you know, he was out partying all night long. There's a picture of him passed out on the tailgate of his truck at 6 a.m. You know, I don't even think he started cooking until like 7, and he takes third place in the event.
Yeah.
You know, huge, huge. So,
it's,
you know,
that,
what?
It's that thing of managing the temperature and the time. And like you said, I mean, you know, usually when you're going by your strategy, you know, boom, I'm going to slap it in here at this time, 225, 245, you know, whatever it is. But then when it's that oh shit of, you know, and the thing that I've always, you know, talked about on the show about when you kind of go hot and fast over low and slow, and it's the comment you made, I can't really go back to sleep because that window for pulling that brisket and that pork off when it's just right is so much smaller in the hot and fast than it is in the low and slow.
You're exactly right. I mean, you know, because, you know, I'm baiting that. I think I laid down, it was about 5:45, and set my alarm for 6:15, and I think I slept 15 minutes. Now, I wouldn't even say that I slept, you know, because I'm like,
right.
You know, oh, shit, you know. You know, so I get back up, and, you know, you do. You have to pay attention to that. I mean, you know, literally 5 to 10 minutes, can determine what you're doing. And, you know, when all these issues are going on, it's, well, let me go, I'll go back to Friday when I was doing my practice cook. You know, it's easy to say, okay, well, I'm going to put this in here, I'm going to cook at these temperatures, and this is what I'm going to do. And one of the things that I think people fail at is they don't actually pay attention to what is going on with the cooker and the food and how things are progressing. Well, I'm just going to put this in here at 300 degrees for 3 hours and see what happens. That's not what you do. You really have to pay attention to what's going on. And if you're not going to do that, you're kind of wasting your time, realistically.
Absolutely.
You know,
and how's the cooker reacting? Is it a, you know, is it a smoky 300 degrees? Is it a dry 300 degrees? Is
all
my
those variables come into play.
Yeah, is my,
I mean, you know,
on my top rack or my middle rack? You know, all those things.
You know, I mean, and you look at it, you know, if you take that stumps that I'm cooking on and you put it on, let's say, a lane, at 300 degrees, you know, 300 degrees is 300 degrees. That's fine. However, those are still two very different cooks. That's what you have to pay attention to. Understand your equipment, how it works, and what is going on. And don't be afraid to ask about stuff. I talked with somebody yesterday that cooks on a stump, and I was talking about the issues that's going on there, and I made that very clear to him. I said, pay attention to what's going on in your event, because he said, you know, well, I can you know, set something up and do something here at the shop. Well, you know, that's fine, but still you've got to pay attention and understand what's happening with everything that's going on. You know, and, you know, again, if you're not going to do that, why are you going to invest all your time, effort, and money into that and not pay attention?
No, I completely agree. And you know, and it was funny, you know, IAB 30 was on earlier talking about it, you know, and kind of you talking about the paying attention thing. I mean, for anybody that knew us kind of coming up, you know, we didn't pay attention to that kind of stuff. We paid attention to one thing, was the beer low or not.
Yeah.
You know,
is the keg floating yet?
Exactly. So, you know, it's one of those things in the kind of the maturation of a cook team is, you know, that becomes more of a priority. And what I found out was getting hammered on Friday night, yeah, that's fun. But, man, walking away with that big check and trophy on Saturday is a hell of a lot more fun.
Well, you know, it really is.
And then
and
you can stay there Saturday night and do all the hammering you want to, you know?
There you go. You can, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You know, and it's funny you say that. You know, I mean, like you know, for myself, you know, I got into all this stuff, and we did well, and then I have a business behind it, and I've used part of it as marketing, and, you know, at some point, I turned competing almost into a business, where it's not that I wasn't having fun, but I was there solely for the one thing, and don't get me wrong, I still want to go out there and beat your ass this weekend, but, you know, you have to, you know, I last year tried to get back to getting out and enjoying the event and being there for other reasons. And, you know, and I'm still working on that as well. You know, because the drawback for me is that I stay so busy during the week that I find that, like, when I would go out, Thursday night was the literally the only time that I had of the week where I could take care of I could be by myself and take care of things. I need to be by myself, and I don't get phone calls. People ask me about, you know, hey, what about this or this or this or this, you know, blah, 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 you know, where I can just, you know, leave me the hell alone. Let me do what I need to do. Because
yep.
Even though I shut my office door, I still, you know, hey. You know, and I found that I didn't like that part of it. You know, I mean, you know, I kind of, you know, it was almost like became a Unabomber, and, you know, sitting up in my damn camper dealing with shit I had to deal with while everybody's out having a good time. You know, so I've tried to turn that back around and make a complete thing of it. But, and I've realized that I can have my time, but I can also have time for the event, so to speak. And don't get me wrong, I still am there. My reason to be there is to beat your ass this weekend, but let's have fun doing it.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you never want to miss out on the camaraderie of it, because, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, the competitive juices take over. You know, you always, you know, whether it be you with a restaurant or us with different things that we have, you know, you always want your brand to be represented well. But at the end of the day, you never want to get away from just what really makes us love competition barbecue, and that's the people.
Oh, sure. And I definitely feel that I did that for a time frame, not intentionally and not even realizing that I had done that. You know, but it is something that's important. The ultimate reason I remember getting into this was the camaraderie, and probably you guys and how many countless other people out there got into it.
Yeah.
You know, because of that, you know, I mean, you know, maybe you knew somebody, you went out and you saw one of these things, and you see people hanging around, having drinks, having dinner, doing this, that, you know, have whatever the case is, and you go, oh shit, man, this is like the coolest thing in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, and it is, and we all get to play and have fun, and this great camaraderie, and maybe we can win some money and do this, that, and the other, you know, and that's ultimately what it's all about, you know. And you know, for myself, and I know some other people out there, I'm not necessarily in this for the money.
Right.
I'm extremely fortunate and blessed that I'm in a position where I can go out and do this, and I don't have to win this weekend.
Right.
You know, we all know the costs that are behind this if we do this on a regular basis, and it does get expensive. So, you know, being able to go out and make those memories and hang out and have a good time with people and being able to help people out there along the road, you know, all of us out there have had help. I don't care who it is.
No.
We've all had help somewhere along the way.
Yep.
You know, and I've given my fair share out of it. You know, I had a guy this weekend that I went over and helped that, you know, he essentially is taking this year off to go out and compete. He got into it last year or the year before, and he did okay with it last year, had some calls. He hasn't won an event yet. And then they decided, you know, he went out and bought a big 40-foot fifth wheel. And, I mean, you know, he got into it, you know, like people do. And they decided that this year that he was taking the year off. He got some money, if I recall, from an estate, you know, some along those lines. They actually dropped to they got rid of the fifth wheel, got a little bit smaller trailer. And he's kind of been frustrated because the last few events he's gone out on, he hasn't done anything. Well, the problem is he's gone to some schools, and he's talked with people. He's heard this. He's heard that. He's lost. We had this big sermon, if you want to say, Thursday night out there around the fire, you know, and he's kind of lost now as to what's going on. He's heard so much and tried so much. I think that he has forgotten the cooking aspect of it.
Yep.
And where he came from, how he's done. I've done it, and I think a lot of people have done it out there.
Brother, I'll be the first one to tell you, 2012 was the shittiest year for Whiskey Mountain Barbecue ever. And that's because of exactly what you just said. you know, I was talking to everybody, listening to everybody, you know, had the radio show where I'm bringing, you know, the best cooks on every week. We're talking about things. And I just got away from the basics, man. And so, you know, towards the end of last year.
Hey, this works out. I heard this, and this. This should work. This worked for so-and-so.
Right.
Why doesn't it work for me?
Yep.
Same, same thing with me. When I started doing the best is when I threw all that shit out the window and went back to basics and started tweaking basics and dealing with flavor profiles that I feel are going to appeal to the masses.
You know, and I've heard you say it. I've heard Jimmy Brode say it. I've heard Rub Bagby say it. I'm a firm believer in it. Man, you're trying to cook the best average barbecue.
That's it.
Don't go get way left or way right. But the thing is, I mean, there's so many good teams now, Bubba. The one thing you have to do, regardless of flavor profile, is you got to cook that shit right. I mean, it can't be an overcooked brisket. It can't be an undercooked brisket. It's got to be right in that right window. And the same with the other three categories. You know, that's the key.
The way that I describe that, and I have for a long time now, is details win contest.
Yep.
That's what win contest. If you don't make your own rubs or deal with your own products and go out and buy stuff, that's all fine and dandy. And you can buy, you know, I don't care if you buy my rub, if you buy Blues Hog, you buy Dan with Three Eyes, you buy Myron's this or Davis's this or whatever product you use out there, that's all fine and dandy. If you don't cook and pay attention to details, none of that means shit.
Yep. Yep. No, you're right. You might as well just be putting salt, pepper, and garlic powder on it.
That's ultimately what it gets down to.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. Dude, Bubba, I know you're busy. We've blown through the time. And the thing is, you know, for you guys that don't know, me and Bubba have had phone calls like this. When I go to his restaurant, if he's there, I know it's going to be a two-hour experience. The guy's just a blast to talk to. And one of those guys, if you've never met him in a contest, and I'll tell you, as a young guy coming up, it's a little bit intimidating, you know, huge fifth-wheel trailer. This guy's got all the accolades in the world. You know, and he's got a pretty simple rule, man. If he's out there on his back deck or sitting in his chair, come up and shoot the breeze with him, man. He's a great guy. And I know you got a big week coming up, man, and I appreciate you carving 30 minutes out for me, brother.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, and truly, you know, I don't mind helping anybody out there, and if you got questions, concerns, and I'm around, or you want to get in touch with me, you know, don't hesitate to get in touch with me, and somehow I may not get back with you right away, but I will get back in touch with you. You know, don't be afraid of anything like that. So, Chad, I wish you all the best of luck. Anybody listening, I wish all the best of luck out there, and y'all have good times, and we'll see you out on the trail.
Sounds good, Bubba. Take care.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. I'll tell you what, guys, always enjoy having on the show. I'm sorry to Jim Elster, and I'm sorry to Andy Allen. We're about to go over to you guys now. I'm so sorry. I'm not even going to do my commercial spots. You guys know, CosmosQ.com. You go over there. He's got all the best stuff. Brines, injections, rubs. Check out the Chipotle Killer Bee. Check out the regular Killer Bee. Pork soak, chicken soak, pork injection, beef injection. We use them all every weekend. All right, Jim Elster, here we are. What's up, man?
Hey, Chad, how's it going, man?
Dude, I'm sorry. You just cut off a guy like Bubba Latimer, dude. You got when that guy gets going, man, you just got to go with it. You got to just enjoy the chat. So I apologize about being a little bit late. Are you there? Did you just hang up on me?
I'm here.
All right. I think I got you now. I think I hear you all right. So, dude, how's it been, man? We obviously are here to talk a little bit about Venice, you know, 2 weekends ago. Love the fact that we could be there and watch you take down that first Grand Championship, man. Talk to us a little bit about that weekend.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it was event that will now we bittersweet time.
Hey Jim, do me a favor, hang up and call me right back. I think we got a bad connection.
Alright.
Hang up, call me right back. Thanks, buddy. All right, guys, 1 second. We're going to have Jim Elsford join us back. I think we just had a bad line there. So as soon as he pulls back up, we'll go to him. And then Andy Allen, you're going to be right behind him. Guys, if you don't know, it'll go dark right at 9 o'clock. I'm going to try to have Andy on before it goes dark on the live show. But you'll obviously be able to come back to Blog Talk Radio, listen to the segment me and Andy do. You'll also be able to download it on iTunes probably tomorrow morning. If you want to catch the last, I would guess me and Andy will probably go 15 minutes or so after the show cutoff time. So you'll be able to go back, download it on iTunes, skip right to the two-hour mark, and catch the rest of me and Andy's interview. So let me get that in there for now. But looking forward to having him on to talk about Stagecoach because, you know, based on what the IAB 30 guys said, it was pretty kick-ass. All right, Jim.
Hey.
That's better.
All right. Listen, I guess not where I'm at right now.
Not, maybe it's not better. You there?
I'm here. You here?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you better, and the echo monster's gone. Perfect.
All right,
so talk to us a little bit about it. I you were breaking up, so let's just kind of start from the beginning on that Venice weekend.
Yeah, it was an event that I'll never forget. You know, our first grand, and some other things went on that weekend, you know, family wise, and you know, like I said, I'll never forget that. It was a very special event.
You know, one of the things about it too, Jim, was, you know, the fact that you know, you guys vended too. You know, you had your boy Garrett out there kind of leading the charge on vending with a couple of helping hands. And, man, it's there's something to be said about winning a GC and full vending a contest.
Oh, yeah. Garrett, he's my vending guru, you know. He helps a lot with the contest itself. But, you know, we go to do these vending, which pays the bill, you know, and he takes care of all that. And I don't really have to worry about it. We had some help with my girlfriend Deanna and her son Ryan and her niece, and they took care of all the vending that time. So I really have to deal with it. So it makes it easier for, you know, in on the contest.
Yeah, I mean the last thing when you're building a pork box, the last thing you want to be doing is trying to fill up vending sauce, you know, in a bottle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's nothing more nothing more pain in the ass.
Exactly. And we've been to contests before, just me and Garrett. You know, we go to contests, smaller contests, and, you know, Garrett takes the helmet and just job.
No, man, I've said it before on the show, man. What a stellar kid. You know, and he's going to be a pit master to deal with at some point in time when he decides to say, all right, Dad, you've had enough free labor. I'm going to go out and take some of this money from you. As
yeah.
Sweet smoke, you too, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know that'll be fun also. So, I have to say, you know, kind of getting back to the contest itself, and you know, and kind of being able to stand back there and give you a hug and tell you congrats as you walk up there to the stage, it was awesome to see because I know you guys have worked so hard for it and it's so well deserved. And then you know to come, you know, I remember we were walking back to our trailer, you were walking back to yours. Told you congrats again and left. I never thought that, you know, a couple hours later, you know, when I was checking Facebook on the ride back that, you know, we'd find out, you know, what, a couple hours afterwards, you find out you lost your father. You talk about from going to the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. That's just a roller coaster. Like, I can't believe in a couple hour period.
I got called during pretty much right after brisket turn in and, got a call from a family member saying my dad probably not going to make it through the night. We knew that he was battling, you know, cancer for the last few years, and we expected it, but we didn't know when. So we got that phone call right after brisket turn in, and you know, and that kind of drains you, you know, a little bit, and you know, it takes your focus, you know. It took my focus away from the contest completely. You know, thinking about, you know, him and, you know, what's going on. And then about an hour before the awards. I got the call that, you know, he passed on, and, you know, and we had to, you know, continue what we were doing.
Yeah.
So it was tough. It was real tough. You know, we went to the awards, and, you know, I knew we had a very good cook. Brisket was just the best brisket I ever cooked in my life. It just turned out perfect. You know, and going into that, you know, I felt like, you know, we've been cooking the same, you know, the same program, the same flavor profile for, you know, several months, and didn't really change anything. And, you know, I knew it was really good, and we were about to, it was almost, you know, due to do very well. You just got to, you know, I tell people that, you know, the barbecue gods have to come align, and the stars and the moon, and,
yep,
you know, it all has to be perfect. And I felt it was a decent cook, but at that point I got the news, and it's like, you know, nothing really mattered, you know, just thinking about family.
Yep, absolutely.
So we go up there, and I struggled. This is my fourth year, you know, cooking, you know, competition, and the last two years I've been really, you know, going at it hard. You know, first 2 years we did, you know, first year we did four contests, maybe the second year six. So third year we really went hard at it, and I struggled with chicken. I think, you know, chicken really was my downfall. And you know, I've had a conversation with you before, and completely changed it up. I went back to basics. You know, I tried, you know, I did all kinds of research on the internet up and before that, you know, doing the butter baths and the muffin pans and all that stuff, and like, you know, this is working. So back in November when I first reserved, I completely changed the chicken. First time I completely changed it up, we took a first place chicken.
Amazing how that worked.
Completely changed it up. I mean, completely. So that, getting that, we're feeling pretty good, and we've been doing really well in ribs, and got a second place call in ribs. I'm thinking, okay, on pretty thin. We get the pork. The pork is in our lowest category. I think we got and then the brisket, this to me was like a number one or two. We got fifth place brisket, and so I just figured, you know, there was only ourselves and Tom from Blitz Creek. We had, you know, we got four calls, so it was in between them. I didn't know exactly, you know, where the points were, and it was, you know, and remembering. It started to drizzle during the overall kind of, you know,
mm-hmm,
overall, and then knowing this now, I went back to from my barbecue stars were there filming it for the live broadcast. I went back Monday after that, and I was watching, you know, his broadcast thing, and the announcer right before, you know, they call reserve, you know, it was raining a little bit, and the sun came out, and the announcer even said, sun is starting to shine, and then we were, you know, grand, and, you know, like I said, it was bittersweet. I mean, my dad was looking over us there.
Absolutely, man. That is, it's awesome, and like I said, I mean, it's obviously, because of that, it's something you'll never forget. I mean, one, you never forget your first grand, and then when you kind of layer the whole situation on top of it, you know, I mean, it's definitely something, you know, you'll never forget.
And Venice is, you know, we've been there from, you know, Venice is, this is the fourth year we've been there every year. Our first call came in Venice in port 4 years ago. That was our very first call, you know, and then we get our very first champion. So right now, Venice is pretty special to me. You know, I love the contest. A very good contest. like I said, it was bittersweet that, you know, everything lined up, and other than, you know, I'm off, you know, my father.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 that's kind of the shitty part of it, Jim.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But the, you know, the good part is now you get to join us on Thursday nights before the event at the, you know, at the and do the whole cool thing where you have lunch with the Sertoma on Thursday and do the champions dinner on Thursday night. So, yeah, so it's cool to have you in the club, brother. For Venice.
Yeah, it's glad to be. I'm glad to be in the club, man.
So, well, very cool, brother. I hate to cut you short. We're gonna go over to Andy Allen real quick. Tell folks where they can pick up that badass pork injection at.
Yeah, that badass pork injection. You can go to Sweet Smoke Q, the letter Q .com, and pick yourself some up there. It's been doing very well. We had this weekend several teams been using it, and we have had 2 first place finishes this week and several top 10. So it's going off the shelf pretty fast. I'm working with Matt Barber getting it to mass produce it, because I can't keep it in stock. So if you order it online, you know, bear with me. It'll be, you know, it's not right now. I'm running a little low, but I'm going to revamp here. Good stuff.
Excellent, guys. Go check it out. I've tasted it. I've used it. It's strong, sweetsmokeq.com. Anything else before we let you go, Jim?
No, I just want to thank a couple of my Lump Charcoal. Very good product since I've started using his Lump Charcoal. Just very, very good stuff. You can check him out at forestlumps.com, or you can just let me know if you're interested in trying some. Just hit me up on Facebook, Jim Elser, or .com. And I think local winter has been down tremendous. So,
excellent, brother. Very good, man. Well, like I said, I hate we had to cut it short a little bit, and I'm sorry for running a little bit long, man. But always good to have you on the show. We're proud of you, man. You're in our thoughts and prayers with the loss of your dad, and if there's anything we can do to help you out, brother, don't ever hesitate to ask.
All right, appreciate it, Dad.
All right, Jim. Take care, my man.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. All right, guys, Jim Elser, Sweet Smoke Q. We are going to go directly here to Andy Allen. Andy, you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Chad?
What's up, buddy? Sorry about having to have the interview on the after hours, but... Got Bubba Latimer on there, and me and Bubba get to talking, and next thing you know, 30 minutes flies by.
Yeah, I just got off work anyway, so it's good.
So, the dude, Stagecoach, man, what a great contest for you guys. You know, we had IAB 30 on earlier. Paul and Tom, you know, chewing the fat with us, telling us about their weekend. Man, you guys had just as good a one. So, to start it off, what made you guys break up into two teams, old Basement Barbecue and Rooftop?
The main thing is we have 10 people that we wanted to get in. We got, you know, there's 4 guys on a team plus our 4 wives, so we got 8 people right there. Mm-hmm. And you only get 5 tickets per team.
Ah! So
it kind of helps out to split up into two and, you know, get a few extra people in. And it gives us a chance to try some different recipes and, you know, go against each other, see which one works better.
That's a cool way to look at it. I mean, one, everybody gets to get in and be part of the festivities, and two,
yeah,
you know, you do get a chance to throw some different things at the judges.
Yeah, there's not a ton of prize money there, so it's a good time to experiment and try some new things out.
Excellent. So, first day, is that the first time you guys have cooked IBCA?
Actually, our first competition was an IBCA.
Okay.
Back 3 years ago, so it's been a long time. So we did.
Did you do a little bit of practicing leading up to it, since it had been a while?
Yeah, but, you know, everything else was pretty much the same. You can't turn in burn-ins, but, you know, our same brisket recipe. We did a practice on chicken, because you got to do that
yep.
half chicken. So just trying to get our timing down. We actually used the same recipe that we use for our regular chicken, same marinade, same cook temperature. So, yeah, same sauce. And it worked out pretty good for us.
So were you on I would take it you were on the rooftop barbecue team.
Yeah, I was rooftop, and then our teammate, Joe Angeloni, headed up the basement barbecue.
All right, so basement we know finished reserve and the tiebreaker was IAB 30.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Man, isn't that freaking bittersweet to know you're tied and you end up, you know, mm-hmm. losing on the brisket score? That stinks.
Yeah, but they have these really cool trophies there. It's actually a gold record.
Yeah, I saw
them. That was our main goal this week, just to, you know, I mean, you get those for reserve or grand or first in any category, sir. So that was our main goal, to try to get one of those. So even though it was reserve, it's still nice getting one of those.
Absolutely, man. So what did what, you know, obviously you guys get back together after turn-ins. How did both of you feel about the IBCA cooks?
Pretty good. We had, you know, our wife tried both chickens, and they're pretty close. You know, we've been cooking together for 3 years, so they're pretty close. It's a little spicier, and I think the judges like that a little better on the chicken. They actually like my brisket better, but the judges didn't, so.
Now, you know, Tom and Paul were telling us that they overcooked their ribs and brisket a little bit compared to KCBS because they were using a fork and knife.
Yep.
Did you do something similar?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely overcook everything for an IBCA. We tried that with our brisket. Maybe we didn't go far enough with that. But, yeah, since they're doing that, you know, there's no bite test to see if it's a clean bite. They're just taking it off with a fork. So it's definitely helpful to cook a little extra.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Where did Rooftop finish on the IBCA side?
I don't know overall. They only gave us the top two because the whole table thing, you go to the next table.
Oh, that's right.
The scores. So I'm guessing we are probably third.
I like that.
I really like that. Do. It's either third or fourth because we were one of the few teams that had a couple calls there. Out of the three categories, we had two good calls. And our brisket, I think, was pretty high up there too. So.
Very cool.
Right, just down the top 10.
So then you can't do too much celebrating. You got to turn around and get it all back together for the KCBS contest.
You
were telling me, did you guys do any vending or People's Choice this year?
Yeah, we did. We did the minimum. They had two different levels. You could either do 300 cups, which you get $3 a cup, so it works out pretty good. So we had 300 cups per team, so we did 600 cups over the weekend. And then, or you could have gone all the way and did a full vending. And there was one team there that planned on 5,000 plates. And you should have seen their setup. It was really crazy.
Did they sell 5,000 plates?
I think so. They had a line all day and all night. And 5,000 plates, $7 a plate, I think. It was quite the production there.
But, dude, that'll flat wear your ass out. I mean, that's a whole week of recovery right there.
3 days of that, and I think it was at least 100 each day, and on Sunday it was 107. So it was brutal out there.
Ooh, that is brutal, man. Real brutal. So how was the KCBS cook? Everything okay leading up to it?
Yeah, besides being tired.
After
staying up the night before and being in that heat, you know, it wears on you. So, and we're using, you know, limited resources because we got two teams split up. So normally we do two chicken pans, and this time we only each had one, and just things like that. But no, it's a pretty good cook.
Excellent. So where does basement end up finishing on the KCBS side?
I think we were 13th overall, but we had a third in brisket, and. I'm trying to remember. It was a long weekend. Yeah, third in brisket and fifth in chicken.
And then on the rooftop side?
Oh, sorry, that was rooftop. Basement Basement just beat us out overall, and they had a sixth in chicken and fourth in brisket.
You know what though? Doesn't that you know, we have the option You know, here we do a fun cook once a year, FEA event, and you can enter multiple boxes.
Oh, yeah.
We did it a couple of years ago, and I want to say we finished like fifth and sixth, and none of our categories were more than, you know, four or five places apart. When that happens, it does give you a lot of faith in the judging process.
Exactly, yeah, because I know our stuff is, you know, we definitely cook different, but it's still similar enough where, you know, you have faith in those judges that it was that close.
Yeah.
That's how it was all weekend.
Excellent, man. That is sounds like it was a great contest. Would you say it's one of your favorite?
Yeah, maybe not this year because of the heat.
Right.
But it's definitely an experience to go to and to do. You know, I was definitely tired on Monday because another thing is they don't let you get out of there till about midnight, Sunday night. So then you got a 2-hour drive home, but. Yeah, it's definitely something I think everyone should try to do if they can.
That is it seems like a super fun contest, one that
we could
one
watch.
That, one that'd be cool to cross off and say you did, you know?
Yeah, definitely. 60,000 people and, you know, cutting a brisket and stuff while you're watching headlining bands. It's quite a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what else is up for you guys?
I got 1 week off, and then we're back out there, Long Beach, California. And that's another one we actually vend at. We do full vending, so we're going to probably do about 500 plates there of pulled pork sandwiches and, I think, corn on the cob. And we'll also try to compete and win some prize money.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. How's the Pitmaster sauce rolling out there with the joint effort with GMG, you guys killing it?
Yeah, we're still working on getting the word out there that, you know, this is former rooftop sauce and let everyone know, but it's been doing good for us in the competitions. We've had an RGC with it up in Salt Lake, and yeah, we've been doing pretty good with it, so I'm happy with the sauce. We just need to spread the word some more and let everyone know it's out there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, it is a very good sauce. I've always been a huge fan of it. And yeah, I think it's just kind of getting that word out there and letting people know, hey, yeah, same deal, great stuff, just different label. So
yeah.
Very cool, man. What else is going on? Anybody else you want to thank or talk about before we wrap her up for the night?
I'll thank Brant Beef, one of our newer sponsors. We've been really consistent this year, and beef and our brisket, and we've had 2/3 this year.
That's it. Now, is that a prime brisket?
Yeah, it's a prime brisket. I'd say a lot of them are borderlining on almost Wagyu marbling in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a high-grade prime. And, we teamed up with them, and we go down to their warehouse and pick out our brisket, and they're actually trying to get into more barbecue. They got a barbecue special on their website to get the brisket shipped out to teams across the country. I think it's about $60, and I think that includes shipping. So
that's
a really
pretty
good
tough
deal
to beat. What's the sizing like on those? I know sometimes the sizing on some of the briskets on the prime side can be a little small. What do you find available from them size wise?
I mean, they got everything. They have, you know, 13's their smallest. We're getting about 17-pounders.
Really?
Yeah. You know, we're going down there and picking them out, of course. But I think they're going to try to separate on their website. I heard a rumor that they're going to separate into heavy and light.
Very
so
cool.
Now, because before it was kind of just, you know, they'd grab one and throw it in the box for you, but...
Yeah.
Now, if you want a heavy one, I think it's maybe $10 more, and you make sure you get a big one.
Oh, that's cool, because I know, you know, sometimes it's a little bit challenging to get those larger primes. So that's good to know. And that's BrantBeef.com.
Yep, BrantBeef.com. They're actually for the competition people. They have a quality control manager that goes down to the butchering facility and picks out the best briskets for the teams. So yeah, if you go to their website, they got a competition deal going on. It's a pretty good site.
That's awesome, man. That is really good. You know, I know you got a couple other sponsors. If you want to hit them up before we wrap up, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, I think Already Canopies. I don't know if you saw our new canopies on Facebook.
Yeah, they're really kick ass.
Yeah, we love them. They're heavy duty. We used to have to strap down our other ones on all four corners, and they'd still be blowing in the wind. And you know, we put one bucket on this, and it's not going anywhere. So really high quality, and yeah, just a great people to work with too.
And who? What's the brand on those?
Already.
Already.
And it's R-E-D-Y, not R-E-A-D-Y.
Okay.
And they're doing a lot of stuff with barbecue teams. If you go to their website or go to their Facebook, they got, you know, a bunch of samples. They've been doing a lot out here for us.
Dude, very good to hear. And then you guys still have the relationship with the iGrill?
Yep, still working with iGrill. Yeah, we're doing iGrill stuff. Got them. We got a banner produced by Already and got all our sponsors on there. Got Simply Marvelous Rubs and Green Mountain Grills, of course.
Excellent, man. Well, dude, we're gonna wish you all the best on some of the contests coming up here, and we'll look forward to having you back on again, brother.
Yeah, hope to see you out in California soon.
Sounds good, Andy. I don't know about Cali, but we'll probably definitely see you in Laughlin.
Okay.
If you guys go. So, yeah, we'll definitely see you there.
All right, sounds good.
All right, buddy, take care.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
All righty, bye-bye. All right, guys, wrapping it up after hours with Andy Allen, Rooftop Barbecue. Guys had a great cook this weekend in Stagecoach. And then you can hear, man, they're definitely a barbecue team to keep your eye on. Known Andy and them for a long time, and they're great folks, and we wish them all the best. Till next week, keep the pit lit.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Bail the whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit. Outlaw Barbecue Show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Chew and his Green Mountain Grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and sack it. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on. Woo.